Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing great. Happy Thursday. We have real football tonight, folks. Granted, it's, if you want to call it real NFL, but we have, you know, the Steelers and the Cowboys playing tonight, so it is football season.
I was actually going to say, yes, we do have real football. The CFL is kicking off tonight, and it's actual football games that will matter for a regular season. So definitely, you know, if you can, watch the CFL game, not the Hall of Fame game. I guarantee you it's going to be way better football. I'll be honest, the players will be better. Like, but the fourth strings on the Cowboys and who's the Steelers? Like, I know the Steelers are, maybe the fourth strings and the Steelers are pretty good. They're usually a pretty good deep organization. But regardless, like, those players aren't going to be as good as the talent that's going to be on the field tonight for the Blue Bombers and Tie Cats. I mean, that's the two teams that went to the Grey Cup 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago, you know, free agents teams are a little different, but it's going to be a really good quarterback battle tonight. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm a Tie Cats fan, too, so a little bias. But also, I play CFL DFS. I know some people like to play preseason DFS. Obviously, the NFL DFS will be nice, too. Man, it's going to be nice to just pick Devontae Adams most weeks, isn't it? I actually do write articles about CFL DFS on Going for Two. So definitely check that out, goingfor2.com, on Twitter at @goingfor_2. But we'll talk Packers here. This is the Packers pod. Get that out of the way first. We'll say, in a sense, we'll retire those conversations because we'll start with actually a couple of retirements. I know, training camp, you know, a lot of news is what's going on in practice, but a couple of retirements for the Packers. So anything you wanted to say, Jesse, before we just spill the details?
No, let's jump into it. Some young guys that decided to move on.
Yeah, so a draft pick last year, Simon Stepaniak, he decided to retire. Okay, he was a lineman, right?
Yeah, he was a guard. Guard came out of Indiana. A lot of injuries coming in, too, but yeah, he was a guard.
Right, he was part of the when they took the three straight guards, like they took Runyon and Stepaniak and
Hanson.
Right, Hanson. Yeah. So, I mean, I know Runyon's going to make the team, but like, I don't think. I mean, is Hanson still there as well?
Yeah, tough sledding, uphill battle, but yeah, he's still there. But yeah,
he was. I believe they practice squatted both Stepaniak and Hanson last year. So maybe, I mean, I guess it could happen with Hanson again. I believe he's another year eligibility in that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, deep offensive line. Now, I will say, and one thing we talked about last week, and going over and editing the pod and listening to it again, it kind of, maybe we're being a little too almost, not optimistic, but I think the severity of the Bakhtiari injury, like we're saying, okay, if he, you know, assuming he doesn't play week one, like I think it's pretty clear he's not going to play week one. And the more I think about it, like a late December ACL tear, and if they're winning games without him, like, I could see a scenario where they hold him out for almost the entirety of the regular season, maybe bring him back in week 18 just to get him one game before the playoffs. But like if there's no need to rush Bakhtiari, I could see them just being really cautious and patient with him. So we like, I think right now their plan is to kind of almost plan to have him, not have him at all this season. I think that's kind of how the Packers should plan it. And then if you get him, it's a bonus. Like, I think that's kind of going to be my approach, optimism-wise, for Bakhtiari returning. Like, I don't know how you feel about it, Jesse.
Well, first of all, so the Packers medical staff is one of the most cautious in the league. Like, that has been like that for 30 years. So the way you're leaning towards that, I can't argue because we have been cautious. I don't know if it'll be that long, but, hey, if we're winning games and it's, you know, getting to midseason, yeah, why rush him back, especially if you got all-world Elgton Jenkins, who can play anywhere, and he's killing it. For me, if it's midseason, I would be, you know, that'd be my cutoff point. But, yeah, the first month, why rush him? Like, it's the first quarter, you know, if you break the season down in quarters, you know, in the end of the month ends with San Francisco, where he'd have a tough matchup with Bosa, who's coming back from an injury. I would get through those four games before I would bring him back. And then after that, I could see it. But yeah, what's the rush if you're winning and your line's strong? And this, we hit on it a little bit last week. There's so much competition and so deep. And, you know, when you bring in Dennis Kelly too, you have tackles that have NFL legit starting and above average experience. You know, of course you want your all world guy, but if you can get by and be safe, be safe.
You have so many veterans, like, I mean, Jenkins, Kelly, Turner, like the question marks are where will they play? Not how well will they play? Right. So like that's the good question to have, because, okay, we can do lots of things, right? And eventually something's going to come where they're, you know, they're not like Matt LaFleur is a creative guy, but they're not going to get to the point where they're changing them snap to snap. Like once they establish what they think is their best five without Bach, that's just how they're going to run with it. So I suppose like those three are pretty locked in, I think, to play and be on that starting line. Like I know Kelly's, again, he's been with the LaFleur offense before. He's got to learn this one, but it should be like, the more I think about it, the more it seems like if there's one position that's safe locked in, he's probably going to be the right tackle for most of the season, right?
I think so. I mean, that's why I brought this big human in. I'll probably give out two shout outs. I had a friend at practice today, actually. And he said, Dennis Kelly, his exact words were, his name's Tim Gutnick, great guy. He said, it looks like an adult put on a uniform for a Pop Warner team. That's how big that dude is. Like, he's like, he stood out, him and TJ Slayton, but he said he looked great. He fits, right? Like, this is a guy that's played 16 games last year, and depending where you look, no sacks, and then one side said he had two sacks in over 1,100 snaps. So either one, listen, you put him at right tackle, he's going to kill it. And I agree with you. Matt LaFleur, they're going to play their best five. Like, it's no BS. We're going to put our best five on there. Billy Turner can play inside. You have rookie Josh Myers at center, which kind of transitioning. He struggled a little bit when the pads went on against Kenny Clark, like any human would. But he got praises from Rodgers, so it looks like that's his spot. But the only other spot really is one of the guards, because tackle is going to be covered by longtime NFL starters and then Elton Jenkins playing left tackle. So
yeah, so it seems like, yeah, that's assured with Jenkins at left tackle until Bach gets back. Right. Seems like that's what their plan's going to be. And I was going to ask about Myers, so perfect. So, it yeah, like you said, likely the left guard spot, right? Like, I mean, is Lucas Patrick the favorite? I mean, I don't know if it, I know. Thanks for shouting out Tim, by the way, and him being there and telling us about Dennis Kelly. That you know, helps the Packers fans be optimistic, right? We've had some success signing these veteran offensive linemen, you know, through free agency. I mean, Turner was a free agent signing, right? And they've obviously done well to draft and develop, but, you know, Gutekunst has kind of picked well with which free agency he's brought in, so that's good there. But does it seem like Patrick's kind of the favorite to get the left guard spot?
I don't know. That's crazy, you know, because Patrick played right guard last year, played it really well, was taking some snaps at center, and he was the backup center last year also. So that's a little safety valve. But, I mean, as far as what it sounds like, it's John Runyon Jr. and Big Ben Braden who are battling for that spot. And Lucas Patrick on a line last year that was one of the best in the league, is he the odd man out? Like, that's a hell of a line if he is. So I think it's those three are in that competition. Now, again, you know, they're going to get sick of hitting each other at practice, and it's all about hitting other people, you know, but these guys are going to eat up a lot of snaps, especially inside in preseason, just to see who gets it. Because if someone beats him out, you did a hell of a job. And, you know, and I don't know if that'll be a trade chip or something down the line, but Patrick's a good football player and he's not costing us a lot.
Seven offensive linemen is probably whoever, like the two that don't win that job. That's probably like your depth at offensive line. So like it could make sense to trade Patrick if a team's willing to pay up enough, but it also, just because of the cheap contract, makes sense to keep him, play him. And if, you know, you can re-sign him cheap because he didn't play much last year, like in the 2021 season, that like that might happen, or he might go some team might see what he's done and pay him as a starter as well, which he proved he could be last year. So like you said, like it's you know, good problem to have. We like this problem.
I think his biggest thing is, you know, like his ability to play center, because yeah, Elton Jenkins can play there too, but I think right now, you know, locked in at left tackle, obviously you don't want anybody injured, but you have to account that, right? So you got a guy like Lucas Patrick who can play all three. That's the nice thing about this line too. Besides not even Lucas Patrick that can play all these spots, the Packers have been drafting guys that are so versatile, so we can move guys around. And it's amazing. It really is. It's just really nice how the Packers organization keep getting quality guys. And I don't think it's talked about enough. They keep getting these quality guys that can play all these spots. And don't forget about rookie Royce Newman, who's not going to start, but he's going to make the roster. He's going to make this roster. So what a battle. What a battle. That's the deepest position. Well, I don't even want to say that because I think wide receiver's there, but those two spots are crazy deep.
Yeah, and again, and this is all talking about no Bakhtiari. So, like, it just gets deeper once he gets back too, right? Like, we're talking about, like, 8 quality lineman names here. And I guess Newman's a rookie, so he's still really unknown. But, like, we're talking about 8 guys without Bach. So, yeah, no, definitely gets there. And like you said, wide receiver, which is a perfect transition to the next retirement. Undrafted free agent this year. Got him just after the draft, so it seemed like one of the closer, like, high priority free agents immediately after the 2021 draft. But Bailey Gaither decided to retire from football, so he's out. Did you have any thoughts?
I heard good things. Like, they said, you know, Gaither showed that he made a few plays. Again, very, very deep room. Like, if you just look at, I think 5 spots are already locked at wide receiver, so the battle's, if they keep 7, which we have all these tight ends too, if they keep 7, who stays, right? So I hate to see the young man retire, but, you know, maybe he's got a good life opportunity where, you know, he can move on. And that's what I hope. You know, of course, you know, there's life outside of, you know, a game, right? So, but yeah, that was just another surprise retirement.
You know, making that decision, obviously, is not an easy one for them to make. But I mean, if, you know, clearly they've made it, it was the right decision for them to make. We've talked so much about the offense last 2 episodes. Let's shift to the defense now. And you know, you touched on it at the end of the episode, so let's quickly update what you were talking about. And you're paying special attention to the defensive backs, in particular, a specific type of formation that they were going with. So would you care to just explain to the listeners and give your thoughts on, I guess, through the first 2 weeks of the defensive backs in particular?
Right, yeah. So Joe Barry's system, which... Again, more praise to Joe Barry, and you hear these players talk about him and how, like, enthusiastic he is, and this guy's high energy, lets them play with freedom. It's nice to hear this. I guess this will be long-winded going into your question, but even Aaron Rodgers said yesterday that he sees guys flash it. They disguise really well, and he sees guys flashing into the screen that made Aaron Rodgers hesitant to throw balls. Now, I'll say that again. Aaron Rodgers is hesitating in practice to throw footballs because he saw a safety. It was Darnell Savage flash in front of him. So that's, again, it's practice. Take it for what you will. But these Joe Barry system is a three safety system where he lets these guys move around, kind of play. They're in roles, obviously, but they play free, and it's to make plays, right? And if you look at his defenses, you can say what you want. Were they like some of the best in the league? No, but they made their inside linebackers look really good, and their safety play has been some of the best safety play in the league. The Rams last year, you know, you had John Johnson, a guy that nobody knew about. He just got paid big time money by the Browns because he was amazing last year. So it's nice to see that. And of course, the Packers have 2 studs like Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos are going to be on the field. Adrian Amos was graded as, I believe, the #1 strong safety. There you go, Bears. Way to get rid of him and take Ha Ha Clinton Dix little dig. But he was rated #1, I think, strong safety by PFF. And Savage came on late at the end of the year. But Vernon Scott has been he's a second-year pro, was a late-round draft pick from TCU last year. He's been getting some really good looks and flashing in training camp. And Henry Black, today it looked like he got a lot of snaps too as that third role. So they're kind of trying to find that third guy, you know, to kind of come on the field, can either come in the box or play a rover role, and then maybe cover too. So they're really these young players, which Henry Black is another young player, second year undrafted free agent from Baylor, coming on the field, nice size, good, you know, good athletes. So it's really nice to see these guys just moving around and learning the system.
Back to the CFL, like the three safety kind of makes it feel like of like the you know, secondary triangles you see a lot in the CFL where, like, you know, 5 defensive backs is kind of the base set with 2 slot defenders and like 1 free safety. Like, you know, you see a lot of that. And so having that third safety on the field, is that kind of what it is? It still remains a 5 player secondary, just instead of the slot corner, there's three safeties instead? Or are they taking off a linebacker and putting six defensive backs in that case? Or is it kind of, I guess, a mix of both, probably?
Both, yeah. Good way to answer your own question. Yeah, it's both. So depending on down and distance and early, they're trying to find that guy that can come down in the box, you know, and still kind of be heavy up front on early downs, you know, where you're not, you don't want to obviously take some beef off and guys run the ball on you, but then, you know, move them around. So right now it's been really kind of Adrian Amos, who's super smart. Like we know this, like this guy is super assignment sure. He can tackle, he can play. He looks really well. So they've been dropping him down in the box and kind of floating kind of I know it's a different defense, but like what Charles Woodson did his last years in Green Bay, where he could he could play up high. He could come down the box. He could go stand by the edge, look like he's going to blitz and then pick up a coverage. They've been kind of doing that with Adrian Amos right now. So he's kind of been that chip that moves around. And then Savage, with all his skill, he can play single high and just, like Aaron Rodgers said, you know, he just flashes into anything that looks open. That guy flashes towards it. So, hey, he's got that kind of skill set. So they're just trying to find that third guy to, if you need someone to cover, or if you need something like just help over the top on a good receiver that Jair isn't covering, obviously. So that third piece, like you said, that's really not your nickel corner, but the guy that can play all those roles.
All right. So, you know, talking about roles, right? So we'll go to more the assumption of the five defensive back system when you're taking out the slot corner and there really are just two cornerbacks in the field. Obviously, Jair gets one of those spots, but Kevin King's been injured all through training camp. So, you know, early investment already, or at least early look at the high investment made this year in the draft. First round pick Eric Stokes, it seems like he's been getting a lot of playing time as a boundary corner. Here I am, boundary corner, talking like it's the CFL. Of course, the corners play in the boundary mostly.
You're saying the right things, man. That's exactly what he is. He's going to line up on the outside guy. That's a perfect term. First of all, I love this kid. Like when you hear him talk, he just beams, and like, you know, he loves football, and just his whole aura is great. If you haven't seen it, go, you know, check him out. Check out his interviews, post-practice interviews. Awesome kid. He was getting smoked by Devontae and he's learning from it. Like, well, who doesn't get smoked by Devontae? But he has been. He's been taking his lumps. And it's not because he doesn't have the athletic ability, because he's fast as heck and he can do all that. And he has done good things, but he's learning from the best right now. And Devontae's, let's just say he's fine tuning him a little bit, where, you know, Devontae's beating him with route running and off the line of scrimmage. And of course, Aaron Rodgers to Devontae against Jalen Ramsey's tough. Well, welcome to the league, rookie. So he's getting every rep outside. Kevin King, if you want this spot, get healthy. But he's getting every opportunity. Josh Jackson got a little bit, and it's typical Josh Jackson where he'll make a play here and then he disappears. So we'll see. But it's Eric Stokes, that he's a future. So he's getting his shots.
And I mean, the one thing with Kevin King, I have said it, like he does well in like really heavy zone concepts. Would he fit as that third safety as well? Like, is that something that they could experiment with that as kind of a way to get both King and Stokes on the field? Because I think we've talked about it before, like Kevin King really doesn't profile well as a slot corner. So five defensive back sets, like if he's not on the outside, it's tough to envision him anywhere else. But like, could he maybe transition to be a safety in these specific formations where, you know, maybe he's not the last line of defense, it's Savage instead, but you still have him help out, try and pick off balls, be aggressive, and because that is what he's good at, like really good at interceptions and really good at ball hawking. So could he maybe transition to safety and play that better? Or am I just mad science experiment going crazy here, talking Kevin King not as a corner?
No, I mean, you're not wrong. I think the biggest thing is availability. Like, can you transition him over if he can't be on the field to learn it? You know what I mean? Like, yes, Kevin King is the best when it's like the play's in front of him and he can see it and he can react and do all this and do that. But now you're going to ask him to play a different role where, if, you know, it's a hurry up offense, he's got to do different assignments. If he's not getting reps because his whole career he's been injured, right? It's not about his talent. it's so much of him picking up and being available and just, you know, just mental lapses, right? Like, no one ever said Kevin King is not athletic enough to play any position. Like, the guy has it. It's just you see some green in him and stuff like that. And I think a lot of it's experience. So making that move right now for him, he's not available right now. So it'd just be really hard concept. And that's my opinion. Like, I don't know if maybe Green Bay is trying to do it or that's a plan, but I just think it would be really hard to do.
Yeah, good point. Like, if he was there now at training camp is when he'd be learning that, right? So if he's already coming back to training camp late, it's a new defense. He's already having to learn on the outside. Maybe you're right. Maybe that is just a little too much to expect from him.
Right. And it's not to say he couldn't do it. You know, it's just, like you said, like, you got to get those reps. Are you going to take those reps away from other guys that are already fighting for that spot when we kind of do need you, Kevin? If you can get healthy and heaven forbid there's an injury, we still need you on that outside. So you got to learn that role too. So, because if you kind of look at this defense, like, which at points last year, Josh Jackson was okay out there, but then he didn't suit up a lot of games because he doesn't play special teams, and it's some mental lapses that he didn't earn his trust from his coaches. Now you have a new defense, like you said. Well, if you didn't earn the trust from a guy that was there 3 years, it's going to be really hard in a new concept, you know. And trust me, like, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, so picking up new schemes in a fast league like this, it's not easy. It's not easy at all.
But it's but it is part of the job, right? It's a testament to those that excel so well because of how difficult it is.
100%. Like, I tip my hat to guys like Jair, who, you know, pick sixed Rodgers on Devontae, and then he went and celebrated with the fans, which I think is awesome. You know, how this guy, it's so seamless to him. And, like, people don't realize, like, this kid just has it. Like, the instincts and the smarts and everything he does, that stuff doesn't grow on trees. We haven't had a corner like that, you know, since Charles Woodson.
Yeah, I mean, like, Hayward was pretty good. Tremont Williams, always solid. But, like, yeah, like, neither of them are quite what Jair Alexander is. And, like, you mentioned it earlier, talking about, like, Stokes is getting reps going up against Adams. Like, he's got the perfect teacher in Alexander in terms of the same position, can show him the way at his position. And then he's got the perfect, like, not to say target practice, because it's probably the opposite, actually. You're the target. But, you know, you've got the perfect, like, you know, test drive. You know, when you're practicing day after day against Devontae Adams, that's only going to help Stokes get better. So, yeah, I think it's a perfect situation for Stokes to come in. And, you know, if he doesn't get it, it's not to say, like, that you have to start for us this year, right? Like, it's, you know, if King comes back and is healthy and is the better corner, he's going to get the job. You know, I don't think that LaFleur and the system they've built and the trust with the veterans in it and everything that's done, you know, not to say the Packers way, not to try and copy the Patriots or anything. We'd all like to win as much as the Patriots did, of course. But, like, he's not just going to instantly give it to the rookie if the veteran's the one that's out there playing better. Now, if Stokes is clearly better than King, that same principle applies, right? You play the best player. So, I mean, and maybe this extra time at practice will allow Stokes to win this job. But, I mean, we talked about it, the offensive line. Just because you have great players doesn't mean, like, all of them have to play all the time, right? Like, if, you know, if King's your third corner and he's, like, the main backup, like, that's a pretty good situation to be in, because, you know, we can criticize Kevin King all we want, but he's a starting caliber corner in the NFL. Is he towards the lower tier of the starting caliber, lower to mid-tier? Probably. But he's still a starter. Like, he's still a starter on probably most teams in the NFL. You know, there's a couple teams that probably already have, like, two elite corners where he's not, but...
Miami, and they're paying, you know, $50 million for two of them, you know? So,
if Howard stays, of course. I mean, they trade him, right?
Right, yeah, right. But no, 100%, your point's totally valid. Like, you know, first of all, you know, this kid's getting beat up by one of the best, and Matt LaFleur even spoke about it in his presser, where he's like, listen, like, he said, hey, you're going to get beat by these guys. It's Aaron Rodgers throwing to Devontae Adams. They're going to beat you. It's your mental fortitude and how you recover from it and how you learn from it. And he said, this kid's got it. Like, and he's eating it up. Like, it just, everything that you're hearing, like, okay, he got beat on this. It wasn't because he was not athletic enough, or his makeup speed is that fast. Cause they said, hey, MVS is one of the fastest guys in the league. Eric Stokes can run with him. I'm like, holy cow, that's impressive. Right. So now you get him with Devontae, and he starts getting the ins and outs and what these receivers' footwork is doing, and he knows he's got those physical tools to stay with him. I think he's going to be a keeper. So again, you're going to get your lumps. He's a rookie, but it's a mental thing with corners, and that's the biggest thing. And then you got the guy like you got Kevin King as your ace in the hole, your third guy that you can put out there in a pinch. We can live with that. Like you said, you could never have enough talent on any team. You can never have enough talent out there. Yes. Is he perfect? No, of course not. But we got him pretty cheap, and it's a lot better than, hey, we don't have anybody to play this week. What are we going to do? You know, so this roster is really good. And I'm going to say that every dang week because people don't want to hear it, but it's true. This is a really good roster.
Yeah, and back-to-back NFC Championship games, like, you know, been a playoff team, what, 8 of the last 10 years?
Right.
Probably, what is it, like, 10 of the last 12, something like that? Regardless, like, yes, very clearly a good talented roster that could, like you said it, doesn't mean they will, but they could potentially win and win a lot of games and maybe win the Super Bowl, at least maybe get there, right? Like,
it's in front of them.
If Trey Lance comes out and is absolutely amazing for the 49ers and that defense gets back, the Packers are probably the third best team in the NFC.
On paper, yeah. On paper, that San Francisco team, outside of the quarterback position, which is the number one position, is really dang good. I mean, there's no argument about that. There's no argument about that. But then at the same time, when you say that, name me the cornerbacks that are playing in San Francisco. I can't.
Maybe they would want Kevin King.
Right. And that's a good point, because that's what we're kind of hitting. We're three guys that we like, but, you know, you can make up for it other spots. But, yeah, that's neither here or there. But you're right. That's a really good team out there, depending on their quarterback play. Their quarterback play is average. They win half their games.
All right. Now, moving to the linebacking core, I think we first off, we talked a lot about the secondary. So that was good there. Just to get a lot of that defensive back talk again. I think there's a big spotlight on a first round pick no matter what. So if it shines bright on Stokes, it seems like at least the speed is functional. Like that's important to hear there. But moving over to the linebacking core now, a bit of concern and also maybe some potential shifting around, something that's kind of maybe happened before with a couple of these players. But it looks like the two main inside linebackers look like they're going to be Chris Barnes and the free agent signing Devondre Campbell. Campbell almost reminds me a bit of Dennis Kelly, right? Like bringing in these veteran guys that can still play. They have the leadership, they have the intangibles, they have the tangibles, because like they're good players and they're going to be out there providing really good, you know, snaps for big portions of the game. I mean, for Kelly, expect him to play 100% of the snaps every game and that they're being competitive. And Campbell's probably going to be there too, as you know, when they play two linebacker sets, he's going to be in there. Between Chris Barnes and Campbell, like, do we know who's wearing the helmet first off? Like, who's going to be the signal caller? Is it potentially Adrian Amos? Like, I guess with the new defensive coordinator, you can kind of maybe not even fully decided yet, experiment with all three. Like, do we know what's going on there?
I don't. Those are great questions. I don't know who's going to be the leader of that defense. If I had to guess, I think it would be Amos, just because I think he's so good. But right, like, yeah, you experiment. Chris Barnes, which I'll start there. You know, he came in 10 pounds lighter. He said he was heavy last year, and he feels a lot better. So if this kid can make a step, I think the sky's the limit, because his instincts are there. It always, you know, when you saw him make a mistake last year, it was a step late. It was a step this. It was a step that. But it wasn't like he wasn't around the ball. So his instincts are there. So I think, you know, if he's a little quicker, another year in the system, I think he's going to be fine. Campbell is one of those, like you said, like Kelly, they're the under the radar guys you bring in that are going to contribute. Campbell, I believe, is out of Minnesota. He's been in the league for a while, played in Atlanta. He's one of the best cover corners, you know, in the league. He's long, lean, gets all over the place. Exactly what Joe Barry does with his linebackers. He wants them light. He wants them fast. This guy's that. Between the two of those, yeah, that's your spot. The wild card, I know where you're going with this, was Kamal Martin. You know, with Randy Ramsey got injured, it looked nasty. It sounds nasty. They're not saying much, but don't expect him back anytime soon. That's an edge guy, right? So when you look at these defenses, they're 3-4. You got your two stand-up off-ball linebackers, and you have your edge guys, you know, depending how you like to use our edge guys because they can move inside. But it looks like Kamal Martin, might experiment with him and move him around a little bit. He's got the explosiveness. He's a downhill attack kind of guy. We'll see. You know, like he's at his best when he's attacking the line of scrimmage. So he might be a nice little move piece. Because granted, you know, if all these guys, again, with depth, they're good. Move them around, keep them fresh, you know, see what you got.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, Ramsey looked slated, and I'm not really hearing exactly the nature of the injury, but everything that's being said, I mean, Zach Cruz was reporting, talking to what LaFleur said, all LaFleur said is it's serious. Like, it's a serious injury. He's going to miss significant time. Like, none of the good keywords. They're not ruling him out for the season yet, so they, you know, I guess they'll reevaluate. They've got, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a bit more before they have to decide the 53-man roster. I mean, if they feel like he really might miss the whole season, they might just put him on IR and before the season starts and he's done for the year and just let him recover, save the roster spot and have four other outside linebackers that you're really keeping. And again, maybe Kamal Martin's that fourth because seems pretty obvious. Za'Darius Smith and Rashad Gary are going to be the two starters that are going to play most snaps. Preston Smith, they'll use him when they can, as much as they want to, and maybe all three of them on the field at times. But who's that fourth guy going to be, right? And that's maybe all they keep at outside linebacker on the starting roster. So, if they feel like Ramsey has a chance to get back, and they're not impressed with Martin or they're not impressed with anyone else that is trying out for that spot, they might say, okay, we'll not put Ramsey on IR. We'll hope to, or at least before the 53-man roster. They might, once that's announced, then put him on IR, be able to pick up players afterwards, but keep the possibility open that he could play again. So that'll be interesting to see, where Ramsey's at in maybe 2-3 weeks from now. But it looks, our thoughts are with Ramsey first and foremost. Less about football, just hope that he's okay. It's, young players, on their rookie contracts, trying to show out is really, that's when they can show the most value and set themselves up for the most earnings. So just feel for Ramsey and his career right now and just hope the best for him.
You're right. First and foremost, hopefully, speedy recovery. He can come back and do what he loves to do and all that. Being hopeful about it, like you said, all the key words, it didn't sound good. I don't think the Packers are betting on him anytime soon. Even if he does PUP, it'll be midseason. It might not even be that. So, there's other guys that are fighting for that spot, right? Like, all these guys are trying to eat. They got John Garvin, who they really liked last year. He was Mr. Bendy out of Miami. So you got your three big guys, which I want to say about Preston Smith, too. That guy is a pro's pro. Last year he came in, he was heavy. He didn't have a good year. And then when he talked yesterday about him taking a pay cut, and he said he deserved to take a pay cut because he didn't play up to his potential, and his pay cut got Aaron Jones back, that's a guy you want on your team. I tip my hat, Preston Smith. That's just awesome. Good for you. He's wearing it. He's betting on himself. He said, and you're not going to see that me last year again. So I'm expecting big things between the two Smiths and Gary on the outside. Watch out, league, because these guys are going to eat. They're going to kick your butt. But then, that fourth spot, you got good players like John Garvin that they really like. He might move around. And Oren Burks, we forget about him. I'm not going to say he's great or anything, but he keeps sticking around and he's fast. Maybe in this system, he might find a home and just, be a good backup. You know what I mean? There might be a spot where he can come in and help out. Ty Summers has always been around the ball. He's just got to finish. So there's the other inside guy they might like. I'm going to slaughter this guy's name, but T.P. Gala, I believe that's how you say it. He's from Utah State. He had 13 sacks in colleges last year. He's 6'5", but super lean. He was 230. That might be another guy that's going to get a lot of looks. He's coming into his second year. He might get a lot of looks this preseason. And, we got all these bigger, heavier guys. He might be one of those outside guys, kind of like Martin, that could find a spot just, being that long, lean, quick pass rusher guy. So there's a lot of competition right there, too.
Yeah, so it's not as if it's an easier spot for Martin to make the roster necessarily. I mean, he's naturally been an inside linebacker. So if anything, it almost might seem it's you know, really, you know, just fighting against one of Summers or Burks, right? That he's kind of that fourth guy, one of the two main backup inside linebackers. So I don't think it's out of the question that he makes it at either spot, but it's, yeah, maybe not looking great for Martin, because he did look good last year. It seems like, you know, he got playing time ahead of both Summers and Burks last year. So you would have thought coming into his second year that he would continue that upward trajectory. And I mean, I guess Pettine liked Martin a lot more than Barry does. Maybe, you know, not just say personal, but like just in terms of play fit for the scheme exactly. So clearly they're thinking one defensive coordinator considered Martin ahead of Summers and Burks. Different coordinator might not make that same decision, and we're going to find that out. And I mean, Martin still has time to quote unquote win that job back. I mean, not to say that he ever owned the job necessarily, but you know, that's going to be a really exciting training camp battle. Maybe the most exciting on defense is just the linebacking core in general and how it shapes out, and those last 3-4 spots both inside and outside are going to be really interesting. And like you said, there's a lot of good guys. These are players that if the Packers cut them, they're going to make rosters somewhere. Like they'll maybe not starting anywhere, but they'll be third, fourth on a depth chart somewhere. It's, again, speaks to the depth of the organization, just kind of everywhere, really, at every position, and it continues here in the linebacking core.
Yeah, I think Martin's going to be on the team, but, you know, the one, like, Joe Barry defenses, he has taken linebackers that nobody knew who the heck they were, and bam, they came on the scene. And they're fast, they can cover, they can go in space, and they can slash and do all this. Well, that's Martin. You know, Kamal Martin is a physical freak. You know, his last year at Minnesota, he was injured, and like I said, if he came out his junior year, he might have been, you know, a top 4-round pick. You know, we got him in the sixth. So there, he's going to get his looks and all that. It's just how fast can, if you're playing off ball linebacker, how fast can you pick up this defense? Because you have to be assignment sure, because that 4-yard pickup could be a 20-yard pickup if you're missing your assignments. So that's going to be the biggest thing. You might be the best physical guy out there. If you can't pick up what this defense wants to do, he might go with a safer bet and a Ty Summers or other guys that we talked about, because, okay, he might not be that splash guy, but he's not going to make the same mistakes. Who's the oldest guy playing linebacker, off-ball linebacker right now? It's got to be Campbell, right? He's 28. All these other guys are under 25. So these are kids. These are all kids growing together, and sometimes that's a good thing, because I think you can build a bond and a swag, which I hate that word. I've said it like 3 times now in the last year on here. I hate it. But it makes sense, right? This group can just grow together.
Yeah, build a bond, not build a bear. We want to build a team that can beat the Bears. That's right. That's the key. But just your point about Campbell being the older veteran, because he's, I mean, I can't say old. He's younger than I am. So,
me too.
So with Campbell, like, I know you're kind of putting your money on Amos. It seems like like who's going to be the signal caller is going to be, it is up in the air right now. It seems like there is no decision on it, and Barry's going to take as much of training camp to decide. They probably want to, like, the last week of training camp really establish that, know who that is. But I mean, it sounds like you're putting your money on Amos almost.
Yeah, that's my guy. I just think he can carry this team, this defense, and be that QB on D per se.
He's been here the longest, I think. Yeah, right. He was there before. Yeah, because he was there before the year before they drafted Barnes. So out of those three particular, Amos, Barnes, and Campbell, he does have the most experience on the Packers. But just because it is a new defensive coordinator, I could see it all starting off at zero. And actually, if I had to pick, I'm gonna say Campbell, just because he has been around so much. I don't know how much signal calling experience he has. I know Amos has done that at points in his career. I think with the Bears, he did some of that. Again, talk about the Bears. Let's get away from that. But
right. I don't know. In Atlanta, I don't know if Deion Jones was the one that was doing it or Campbell. So you could be right. I have no idea, like, if he was a signal caller.
I do think it was Jones, but Jones has also been hurt a lot too, right? So, you know, right. Campbell have to be kind of thrust in that position more. I'll maybe look into that. But I think it's going to be Campbell, actually. But that'll be exciting to watch. I mean, all three of those players are making the team, but all three are going to play a ton, especially Amos. Like, I expect to see some weeks where, you know, 90 plus snaps, or I expect that most weeks from Amos, so just constantly be on the field and constantly making an impact. So maybe for that case, Like, if he plays the most, maybe they, knowing that he's going to be on the field more than Campbell and Barnes, if they, you know, if they rotate out the linebackers especially, or play with only one inside guy, maybe Amos is on the field more, and that's maybe the reason why they go with it. Just because if he's going to be on the field more, they don't have to be switching out the helmet in and off. They know it's going to be with Amos most of the time. I mean, if he has to play 100% of the snaps, I feel like that's not unusual for Amos. So that would be maybe the case in your favor of you saying Amos. So I made your argument for you there.
Yeah, you did. Like, I'm like, well, I couldn't argue that any better, because that makes the most sense to me. So
so we'll see if Jesse's right, or if I'm wrong, or if I'm right, maybe. Or maybe it ends up being Barnes, because I know Barnes kind of did it last year under Pettine a little bit. And as a rookie, that was kind of unusual to see. But, like, I guess, you know, when Christian Kirksey was out especially, I think that's when we saw it a lot. But so maybe it ends up being Barnes and we're both wrong.
Maybe. And, you know, Barnes had injury problems last year too. So I don't think it'd be a wrong choice all around. I don't know a lot about Campbell, but I know he's got a good pedigree playing in a defense that lets him roam. So it's a great under the radar signing. Now, can he do the defense? We'll see, but I don't have a problem with it. I think all three guys are very capable.
Already a deep linebacking core gets a little bit deeper, and some good news to end with here at the end of the show, some players coming off some inactive list. In this case, linebacker Ray Wilborn activated off the COVID reserve list. He was placed there July 24th, so just before training camp. So he'll be, you know, he's there and he's going to be practicing. Obviously he's going to be fighting to make a spot on the field. I believe he's more off ball, so he is kind of fighting with Summers, Burks, Martin for those final two, maybe final three spots at linebacker. So he's, you know, a little bit behind, but I mean, he's luckily there's still enough of training camp left that he can go out and make an impact. I don't know about his practice squad eligibility, but good to see that Wilborn's back at practice.
And yeah, just another name on that side of it, Isaiah McDuffie, the rookie that they drafted, has not been practicing yet. I really don't know. I know it's an injury, but I don't know what it is. That's another off-ball small guy that they liked. So there's another guy to add into that mix. And Josiah DeGuara, tight end, which that's we can talk next week because we got nine of those that it's going to be deep also. But he's back practicing, and they threw him right back in the mix also. So that's good to see. And then I'll say also Jay Sternberger, a guy that I didn't think – I thought maybe he'd be a cut this year, especially with the suspension coming up. Tim Gutnick said that he stood out at practice today. That dude was getting open every single time. So that's good to hear, too, that Jace is finally year three, tight end, tough position. He's showing out.
And I mean, really, like, something Sternberger did a little bit his rookie year was play fullback, right? When they needed that, the transition of tight end to fullback, DeGuara did that a little bit as well early last year before his ACL injury. So, like, it does seem like if they really like Daphne and they want to keep a fourth tight end, it really seems like the third guy, quote unquote, is going to be whoever could be that versatile tight end, fullback, H-back type player. So it really does seem like, you know, is DeGuara and Sternberger going head to head, or do they want to keep two of those guys and Daphne just not versatile enough and ends up being the odd man out? I guess that's my quick thoughts. I guess we want to talk more about it next week, but that would be kind of just the quick way. But good to see DeGuara back. And again, you've been transitioning perfectly, because that's exactly what I was about to mention next. So you're on fire, Jesse, just like Aaron Rodgers to Adams, unless, of course, Jair Alexander's covering.
It's not even close to that good, but whatever. But in the Daphne thing, like you're saying, he's been injured too. So, like, it's another guy that's really good that we like. He's not on the field. So it looks like other guys are taking advantage of their chances. So just like in life, man, if you know you got a chance to do it, take advantage. So go Pack, go.
One last player activated off a list as well, a PUP list, is running back Patrick Taylor. Now, again, I think I hinted on this a little bit last week. Like, they very well could just keep three running backs. Like, it's easy to see that scenario where they just go Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, and, again, assuming Kylan Hill, unless he just is just straight awful at training camp. Like, to me, he's the most talented out of anyone else they have there. And it's like, I don't think it's that close. I've never been a big fan of Dexter Williams. I wasn't really a big fan of Patrick Taylor either. So, you know, Taylor back. I mean, if they want to keep four, it really does seem like it's Taylor, Dexter Williams, or, you know, maybe a random street free agent could come in and beat either of them, really. I guess, sorry, Taylor and Williams. I'm not the biggest fan of either of them, but, like, am I wrong with Kylan Hill as being the very clear number three? Like, they're keeping him kind of almost no matter what?
Well, first of all, this is your expertise because you are the running back guy. So I will default to you. But yeah, that's how I look at it. Like, they drafted him. He fits what they like, how they run. They want to run the ball. These other guys right now are camp bodies. And unless somebody just like, oh my God, they stand out. It's Hill's job. But again, you have preseason. You have to make it through it. You have to stay healthy. Second halves of preseason are really boring football. Guys get nicked up, they get beat up. So maybe one of these guys will jump out and they can earn a spot, you know. But yeah, it's all Hill. It's Jones and Dylan, and just stay healthy, right?
Yeah, and I think one thing I guess I'll give the edge to Taylor is a bit of a pass catching pedigree. Like, I'm looking at his college career in particular. He did have 19 receptions as a sophomore. And then, you know, it's kind of, I guess, more of a, like, you know, his sophomore and junior seasons, he was kind of a bit of a workhorse, especially his junior year. He had 208 carries, 17 receptions. Actually, he had 16 touchdowns. He almost had more touchdowns than receptions. So it's somewhat of a passing pedigree, but it's better than Dexter Williams, right? Like, I think that was kind of Dexter Williams' inability to kind of make a team. Like, the team the last 2 years has been just his inability to catch the football, right? It seems like just very limited on passing downs. And he, you know, you're never going to get the early down work with Jones and Jamal Williams. So, like, Dexter Williams just seems like he just never fit. And unless he's really changed as a pass catcher, like, I don't see why that would change now. Like, we've talked about defensive coordinators change, but this is still Matt LaFleur's offense. So, and I mean, Hackett's still there, right? It's like the running backs who can catch passes are so coveted. So, like, I think Taylor at least has shown somewhat of that, and that gives him, I think, the inside track over Williams. I'll be honest, like, Duke Johnson's still a free agent. It wouldn't shock me if the Packers pick up him and he's the fourth guy, right? Like if, unless, you know, if they could find out the money. I know Cobb coming in, that eats a bit of the cap, and so does Kelly, right? Obviously, those are important pieces to sign more than a Duke Johnson, but, like, if they really wanted to add to the running back room, I could see Duke Johnson. But again, I could also see it just being three running backs if they want to keep the extra wide receiver just because they're so deep there, or they really do want to keep four tight ends, maybe both, and they'll find other ways to eat at positions. But I really just think Jones, Dylan, Hill, to me, seem like, okay, Jones, Dylan for sure locked on the team. Like, they're making the team no matter what. But, like, Hill, I feel like he's going to make the team too. Just seems like he's the better back out of the three, and talent's going to win out. And the only thing that I could see is if he has an absolutely awful training camp, he really can't pick up the playbook at all. And it's really less about his talent and more just a fit scheme and football IQ, right? If those things don't hold up, then again, then they're rushing out to get Duke Johnson. But if they do, like, it, that seems like a safe three to make the team there, Jones, Dylan, Hill.
Right. Yeah. And that's what it is. Like, they're not going to carry four. You know, they really value these tight ends because, again, remember, they don't carry a fullback because these tight ends are basically H-backs that, like you said, with Sternberger and Josiah DeGuara, who was brought in because he's a blocker, too. And then Daphne also, you know, they play that role that they move. So they're going to carry more of that. And running back is brutal of a position that they get beat up on. Is the replaceable position. You're right. Like, you can have a guy sitting out there where it's like, hey, it's September. This guy's still out there. Let's sign him, have him go through practice this week. And he can come in and help out a little bit. So that's my three. I will defer to you because there's no argument for me.
And just to go, like, again, back to the numbers, like, again, talking about Patrick, his best season college, catching 19 receptions, another season with 17. Kylan Hill's last three seasons in college, 22 receptions, 18 receptions, 23 receptions in three games as a senior. So, like, much better pass catching pedigree than either Taylor or Williams. And I mean, as a runner, I think he's just also much more talented, really good. Like, with him, like, the contact balance is there. It's almost like I guess mini AJ Dillon. He's not quite as big as AJ Dillon, but I could see a similar running style, there and kind of ability
to. Wasn't he your number one? He was your number one in that, I believe, wasn't it?
I think, well, though, I had Najee Harris at the top. I think he was third because I had Deion Jackson at two.
That's right.
He went undrafted. Like, he had worse draft capital than Kylan Hill. I know I really like Kylan Hill, really liked Ramondre Stevenson. Actually, out of the three outside of Harris, the three that I really liked, Stevenson ended up going to the Patriots with the best draft capital. But yeah, I really like Kylan Hill. So I just think he's pretty safe to make this team. And you know, as much as safe as a seventh round rookie is kind of in his first training camp. And it's, I do like him, but it's also, I really don't see it with Williams at all. And Taylor, I didn't love the tape. Again, that's just my subjective view. I could see the path better than with Dexter Williams. So but having missed this time with the injury, he's behind Kylan Hill now, a week behind learning this offense, or at least practicing with this offense at training camp, obviously at OTAs and other things. But yeah, so that's my thoughts on the running back. I guess, don't need to talk too much more about that, but was there any final thoughts you wanted to give before we head out of here?
No, I just hopefully everybody gets to enjoy family night this weekend. That's exactly what it is. So if you are in Wisconsin, you can get there. Go ahead, go. NFL football's here, folks. Like, this is the best time of year. So go Pack, go.
Yeah, and so if, obviously, we talked a lot of topics, but of course, if there are ever any topics you as the listeners want, you can reach us on Twitter. The podcast account is at @FPC_Packers. Really, that's the FPC Packers account. So this podcast, all the articles as well. You can also get all those articles on the Full Press Coverage app. I know I put out a couple last week. Jesse, you did one too, kind of a recap of first week of training camp. Seems like that'll be kind of a theme. I know you're heading to some of the practices during week three of training camp.
That's the plan. Starting next Tuesday, I'd like to get to one or two of them.
So hopefully that inside perspective, and again, we can share that all and get access to all of that information, all the information from training camps across the league through the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores, so get all the Full Press Coverage content in one convenient location. Shout out to PA the Second, who's on Twitter at @PA_II_official. PA the Second composed, performed, produced the song Na You that we use as our intro and outro music. Of course, the Twitter handles of the hosts before we leave. So if you do want to message Jesse or I, you can do that on Twitter. Jesse's at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm @SenraSays. And I guess Jesse, what does Jesse say? What's the final word, Jesse?
Go Pack Go.
A familiar sound that we hear here on the Full Press Packers Pod.